Well, welcome one and all, and Sabbath blessings to each one gathered here and to those listening on the phone and to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio and also to those listening to the recording. And praise God once again for His merciful kindness and tender love in allowing us to be alive for just such a time as this, and also for allowing us to come together and have the privilege and honor to fellowship one with another and to dig into God's Word to seek to learn more and to understand more of the marvelous light that He has given to those of us living in these last days. May God be praised indeed. So welcome again, dear ones, and let us get into our service for today. Our opening song is entitled Trust and Obey. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID160.htm.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Dear ones, I ask that you please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for opening prayer to today's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being in control of all things. We thank you, Father, for your permissive will. We thank you so much that everything is under your control and that we are soon to be taken off of this wicked world and accompany our Savior back home. And as being in company with all the rest of the redeemed through all the ages as our fellow brothers and sisters, we thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather together for just such a time as this. We give you full and complete control of this room, of this meeting, and of each one of our lives. Father, I pray that you will allow the atmosphere of heaven, the purity and the love and the holiness to dwell among us, to envelop us and help us to allow it to become part of us. Dear Savior, we pray for your presence here as well. And please let your bright beams of righteousness, of purity and truth shine directly into our hearts, dispelling all darkness, taking away everything negative and only leaving the positive there. Help us indeed to be happy in you. Help us to trust in you when we don't understand why. And help us to patiently obey you and to walk the path that you have marked out for us to walk. Dear Spirit, we pray that thy presence will be here in our midst as well. Please open our understanding and help us to behold wondrous things out of the word of truth that you inspired. Quicken our comprehension and help us to clearly see all the areas that we are deviating from the perfect will of our Father. Convict us of our sins and of the way to righteousness and of the soon judgment to come to each one of us, that we might be earnest about our salvation, that we might take the time to honestly examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, and please clearly and distinctly point out to us all the areas that we're deviating off the straight and narrow. Plant within us true repentance and contrition for sin. Grant us the grace and the strength and the courage to turn away from the paths that we have taken that lead anywhere other than heaven, and then to turn our feet to walk in the one path, the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. And thank you so much for doing so. Dear Father, we have some prayer requests that we bring before thy throne at this time. And we thank you for hearing and answering these according to thy will and in thy timing. We pray for Brother George, who is very sick. And we pray that you will take his case in thy hands and bring about a swift, complete healing to him according to thy will. But, dear Father, help him to rest in thy love and to perfectly trust in thee. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for Sister Lynn's uncle, who is very sick as well. Please take his case in thy hands and allow him to be healed quickly and completely according to thy perfect will, but especially heal his heart and allow him to turn to thee and choose you as his Savior. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for Sister Lynn's family members and her co-workers. Continue to let the seeds of truth that she shared with them to be planted deep and to bring about a change, new growth in the image of God. And let not a single seed of truth be lost or snatched away by the wicked one. And thank you, Father. We also pray for our dear brother James's dad and his friends, that the truths that were shared with them will strike a chord in their hearts and then will lead them directly to the Lord for salvation. We also pray for Earl, that he will allow the truths that Brother Joel has shared with him to take hold in his life and to cause him to become more curious, to want to learn more. We also pray for our dear brothers and sisters that are battling depression, and that you will fill them more and more with your love and joy until the depression is a thing of the past and they're able to continuously dwell in the presence of him that only brings joy and contentment and love. And thank you so much for doing so. We also pray for our dear sister Lucy's precious children, that they will each come back into connection with her once again, and that this may occur soon. But dear Father, we leave all the answers to our prayers and petitions, including the silent ones, in thy most capable hands, to be ruled upon by thy will and in thy perfect timing. And we thank you so much for taking our prayers and petitions into consideration and for hearing and answering them in thy good timing. Thank you so much that we can trust you with everything, that you are indeed our burden bearer, and we can truly rest in thy love and patiently endure. So we thank you, dear Father, for hearing and answering these prayers and petitions and this prayer today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for opening our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy word of inspiration. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And let us get into our sermon for today. This is the Ten Commandments series, dealing with the eighth commandment of thou shalt not steal. And this is part three today. And the quotes that I'll be referring to can be found on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1409.htm. So the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, part three. Now last time, we understood that we can break this eighth commandment and commit sin in this fifth main area, which is stealing from or deceiving God. And we discovered that there are at least three different ways that we can steal from God. And these were, the first was not giving tithes, the second was not giving offerings, and the third was not serving God. We then investigated in the first of these three different ways, and we learned that we can steal from God by not giving a full 10% tithe of anything coming to us that increases our worth from the day before. We saw that this increase can occur by us either getting paid for our work, or an increase in produce or livestock from our land, or from an inheritance, or from interest being paid to us in other areas as well. We also learned that if we are not giving to God a full tithe on any of this increase, then we will not receive his blessings but his cursings, because we are robbing him. And that this may be the reason why different negative things are affecting our prosperity, or perhaps why things are always breaking down and in need of repair, or perhaps why we never seem to be able to get ahead financially, or perhaps why God doesn't hear or answer our prayers. Now, we also discovered that if we are indeed giving to God a full 10% tithe, but we are either using this sacred money in areas where it should not be used, or we are sending it where it should not go, then even though we are paying tithe, yet we are still guilty of robbing God because of misusing or misapplying this sacred money. We then spent the remaining time last Sabbath investigating into where God's sacred tithe is to go and be used for. And we clearly saw that tithe is to go to and be used for the support of God's ministers or his ministries who are preaching or printing the full present truth message, whether these are men or women. So then, as those who are actively getting the precious present truth messages out to others are the only ones God states are to be supported with his sacred tithes, then where is tithe not supposed to go to and be used for? Well, this is what we will investigate into today. If you look at quote number one, are unfaithful ministers, or churches for that matter, to be supported with tithe? In Testimonies Volume 1 on page 261 and 262, there are fearful woes for those who preach the truth but are not sanctified by it, and also for those who consent to receive and maintain the unsanctified to minister to them in word and doctrine. In Testimonies Volume 3, page 553, it would be poor policy to support from the treasury of God those who really mar and injure his work and who are constantly lowering the standard of Christianity. And then in Testimonies, Volume 4, page 469, as long as the truth is progressive, in other words, continuing to increase, the claims of God rests upon men to give of that which he has entrusted to them for this purpose. So then, are unfaithful ministers or churches to be supported with God's sacred tithe? And the answer is no. If you look at quote number two, are those who disregard health reform to be supported with tithe? In Testimonies, Volume 6, on page 378. No man should be set apart as a teacher of the people while his own teaching or example contradicts the testimony God has given his servants to bear in regard to diet, for this will bring confusion. His disregard of health reform unfits him to stand as the Lord's messenger. So then, are those who disregard health reform to be supported with tithe? The answer is no. You look at quote number three. Should those who preach only to receive support be given tithe? In Gospel Workers on page 237. There is danger that some of limited experience may be spoiled by flattery and by unwise encouragement to expect full support independent of any serious effort on their part. The means dedicated to the extension of the work of God should not be consumed by men who desire to preach only that they may receive support. So the answer is no. Those who preach only to receive the tithes should not be given God's money. If you look at quote number 4, are part-time workers to be supported with tithe? In Testimonies Volume 2 on page 649, there are thorough workmen in the cause of God who have an experience in the work and who devote their time and strength to the service of God. These should be liberally sustained. But those who are merely starting out to visit the churches occasionally, especially those who have no families to provide for and who have a competency themselves, should not draw upon the treasury of the Lord. You look at quote number 5. Are those who are involved in politics to be supported with tithe? In Fundamentals of Christian Education on page 477, those teachers in the church or in the school who distinguish themselves by their zeal in politics should be relieved of their work and responsibilities without delay, for the Lord will not cooperate with them. The tithe should not be used to pay anyone for speechifying on political questions. Every teacher, minister, or leader in our ranks who is stirred with a desire to ventilate his opinions on political questions should be converted by a belief in the truth or give up his work. His influence must tell as a laborer together with God in winning souls to Christ, or his credentials must be taken from him. You look at quote number 6. Are canvassers and coal porters to be supported with tithe? In Counsels on Stewardship on page 102. Still others would reason that canvassers and coal porters should be supported from the tithe, but a great mistake is made. If you look at quote number 7, are personal debts to be paid for with tithe? In Counsels on Stewardship on page 92 to 93. And some of these are self-evident that the answer is no, but yet you'd be surprised what excuses or justifications people can come up with to using tithe in any of these areas. So I pray that you'll please bear with me as we go through each of these so that we have a very clear, thus saith the Lord, that we can give to individuals who may try to justify or reason away God's explicit directions and divert the tithe into these other areas. So are personal debts to be paid for with tithe? In Counsels on Stewardship, page 92 and 3. The question was asked me, Sister White, do you think my father should pay tithes? He has met with great loss recently, and he says that as soon as he cancels his debt, he will pay tithes. I asked, how do you regard our obligations to God, who gives us life and breath and all the blessings we enjoy? Would you have our indebtedness to God continually increasing? Would you rob him of the portion which he has never given us to use for any other purpose than to advance his work, to sustain his servants in the ministry? For the answer to your question, the prophet Malachi asks, will a man rob God? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? As though there was a willingness to misunderstand this subject. The answer comes, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. After such a statement, would I dare say to you, you need not pay tithes as long as you are in debt? Shall I tell you to be sure to pay all you owe to any man, although you rob God to do so? If all would take the scripture just as it reads and open their hearts to understand the word of the Lord, they would not say, I cannot see the tithing question. I cannot see that in my circumstances I should pay tithes. Will a man rob God? The consequence of doing so is plainly stated, and I would not risk the consequence. All who will take a wholehearted, decided position to obey God, who will not take the Lord's reserved funds, his own money, to settle their debts, who will render to the Lord the portion that he claims as his own, will receive the blessing of God, which is promised to all who obey him. Also in Testimonies, Volume 6, on page 391. The man who has been unfortunate and finds himself in debt should not take the Lord's portion to cancel his debts to his fellow men. He should consider that in these transactions he is being tested, and that in reserving the Lord's portion for his own use, he is robbing the giver. And then in Testimonies, Volume 9, on page 247. They, or God's followers, are not to use it, or the tithes, for themselves in an emergency. You look at quote number 8. Are churches or meeting houses and their necessities to be paid with the tithe? In Special Testimony Series A, number 10, on page 16 and 18 and 19. Letters have come to me making inquiries as to the question of the tithe. The writers supposed that they were authorized to use the tithe money in meeting the expenses of the church, as these expenses were quite heavy. From that which has been shown me, the tithe for the support of the ministers in the different fields is not to be used for any other purpose. The minister who labors should be sustained, but notwithstanding this, those who are officiating in this work are withdrawing the tithe for other expenses to keep up the meeting house necessities. God is not glorified in any such work. We have to raise our voice against this kind of management. You look at quote number 9. Are church expenses to be paid with tithe? In Councils on Stewardship, on page 103. I was shown that it is wrong to use the tithe for defraying the incidental expenses of the church. In this, there has been a departure from correct methods. But you are robbing God every time you put your hand into the treasury for funds to meet the running expenses of the church. And quote number 10. Are necessary church conveniences to be paid with tithe? In Special Testimony Series A, number 10, page 21 and 2. Those who have used the tithe money to supply the common necessities of the house of God have taken the money that should go to sustain ministers in doing his work, in preparing the way for Christ's second appearing. Just as surely as you do this, you misapply the resources which God has told you to retain in his treasure house, that it may be full to be used in his service. This work is something of which all who have taken a part in should be ashamed. They have used their influence to withdraw from God's treasury a fund that is consecrated to a sacred purpose. From those who do this, the blessing of the Lord will be removed. In quote number 11, is school tuition or student aid to be paid with tithe money? In Manuscript Releases, volume 13, page 282 and 283. The Lord regards the tithe as his own to be used for a certain purpose, and it is an easy matter in the place of practicing the self-denial that we should to use tithe to help in educating students, which should be used only to sustain ministers. Now, in regard to educating students in our schools, it is a good idea. It will have to be done. But God forbid that in the place of practicing self-denial and self-sacrifice of our individual selves to do this work, we should subtract from the Lord's portion specially reserved to sustain the ministers in the active labor in the field, and to keep at work those who are already ordained for the work. Number 12, are worthy charities to be supported with tithe? In Special Testimony Series A, number 10, on page 19, those who are officiating in this work see that there is not money in the treasury to pay the minister. They are withdrawing the tithe for other expenses, to some charity. God is not glorified in any such work. We have to raise our voice against this kind of management. Number 13, are the feeble and aged to be cared for with tithe? In Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, on page 218, let each church feel her responsibility to have a special interest in the feeble and aged. One or two among them can certainly be taken care of. The tithe should not be appropriated for this work. The Word of God has specified how the tithe should be used. Number 14, are the poor to be supported by tithe? In Review and Herald, December 1, 1896. The tithe is set apart for a special use. It is not to be regarded as a poor fund. It is to be especially devoted to the support of those who are bearing God's message to the world, and it should not be diverted from this purpose. And then quote 15, are the fatherless and widows who are not ministers' wives, are they to be supported with tithe? In Welfare Ministry on page 274, the widows and fatherless were to be supported by contributions from the church. Their wants were not to be relieved by the church, but by special donations. The tithe was to be consecrated to the Lord and was always to be used for the support of the ministry. So as we can clearly see through these inspired testimonies, any use of the tithe other than what God has clearly specified it to be used for is robbing God of this sacred money and is also hindering God's ministers and workers from spreading the gospel more fully. Now, if you look at quote number 16, but some reason away God's specific directions in these matters, believing that they do not need to give God's tithe to his living ministers because they themselves can use this sacred money to purchase Bibles or Spirit of Prophecy books or tracts or other present truth materials and then hand or mail these out for free. And this misappropriation of God's sacred tithe is all done in the name of the Lord. Still others reason that they can pool their tithe money and then use it to buy copy machines or computers or tape or CD or DVD duplicators or video cameras or travel vans or even motor homes. And the list goes on and on. And all this misusing of God's tithe is justified by the human reasoning that it is all to be used in the Lord's work. But dear ones, it is still robbery of God. because his tithe was not being sent and used according to his specific directions. You know, Satan doesn't want God's people to clearly understand these things. The devil wants as much of God's money as possible to be diverted away from God's true ministers so that the present truth cannot go forth with power and quickly finish the work. That's why he has much more time to keep as many precious souls in captivity to apostasy, to corruption, to sin, and to himself, if this tithe money is diverted away from God's ministers. And thus these souls, instead of becoming freed by the truth and from all this satanic bondage, are instead kept right where they are. So if the tithe is diverted, that way he has more time to keep as many precious souls in captivity to himself and away from salvation. In fact, he even stated this very thing to his angels in one of their meetings. In Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, on page 339, the devil's actual words were written down. Quote, "We," this is Satan speaking to his angels, "we must do our utmost to prevent those who labor in God's cause from obtaining means to use against us. Keep the money in our own ranks. The more means they obtain, the more they will injure our kingdom by taking from us our subjects." End quote. So what is the devil's plan, dear ones? To divert the money of God away from his living ministers and workers so that the devil's kingdom will not be injured and his subjects removed. Now, there are many other excuses and reasons that the devil can suggest to God's followers in order to divert the tithe away from God's true ministers and thus prevent this sacred money from going to injure his evil kingdom. A few of these other satanic excuses and reasons are: people refusing to give God's money to his ministers because a tax write-off could not be obtained from them. Or people refusing to give tithe to God's ministers because these were full-time in God's work and they did not have an extra outside job with which to support their own families. Or the devil having his agents spread falsehood and lies about God's true ministers in order to deceptively influence others to stop sending them support. And the list goes on and on and on. But out of all of these different reasons and excuses that the devil uses to divert God's sacred tithe from going to his true ministers, God's true workers, there is one reason where the devil has been and is still the most successful in diverting the tithe. You look at quote number 17. This most successful way of the devil is to lead God's followers to send their tithes to those who should not receive it. Now, what if you send your tithes to ministers or ministries who are only preaching 90% or perhaps 95% of the full present truth gospel? What if you send your tithes to these ministers and ministries? If you do so, would you still be guilty of robbing God and his true ministers or workers or ministers? in Testimonies, Volume 6, on page 448. There are only two places in the world where we can deposit our treasures, in God's storehouse or in Satan's. And all that is not devoted to Christ's service is counted on Satan's side and goes to strengthen his cause. And then in Testimonies, Volume 2, on page 552. If God pronounces a woe upon those who are called to preach the truth and refuse to obey, a heavier woe rests upon those who take upon them this sacred work without clean hands and pure hearts. As there are woes for those who preach the truth while they are unsanctified in heart and life, so there are woes for those who receive and maintain the unsanctified in the position which they cannot fill. So if you send your tithes to ministers or ministries that are only preaching 90% or 95% of the full present truth gospel, you are still robbing God. Let's investigate into this a little more. In order to be faithful and wise stewards of God's sacred tithe, your first work is to test by the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, or Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimonies. Your first work is to test all the messages and stated positions of the different so-called ministers and ministries of God in order to determine if they are really standing for and preaching the complete present truth for today, or if they're only standing for and preaching just partial truth, or perhaps truth mixed with error. So then this means that each and every one of you, as a follower of God, must study for yourselves so that you can know with a certainty if a particular minister or ministry is really standing for and teaching truth or error, and you are not to just blindly rely upon your feelings or even upon the testimony of someone else. This means that you yourself must know the present truth before you can intelligently support those who are preaching the present truth. You look at quote number 18. Now, after you know the full present truth message yourself, and then you believe that you have found a particular minister or ministry that can be safely supported with God's tithe, are you to then go ahead and give them God's sacred money? And the answer is no. That may surprise some of you. The answer to that question is no. And the reason is, before you give any minister or ministry God's money, you must first go to God in prayer. After all, it's His money. Go to God in prayer and ask Him if you have chosen correctly. God knows better than any one of us who needs His sacred money at any given time. And just because you may have supported a minister or ministry in the past does not mean that you can just automatically continue supporting them without first asking God for His approval. Many times, those who were once standing faithful in preaching the full present truth have seemingly overnight changed their positions into that of standing for and preaching truth mixed with error. And you probably would have continued on supporting them for several more months, not realizing that they had changed leaders. But God would have known the instant they changed. And so if you had first looked to Him, then He would have impressed you not to support them at that time. So the whole key here is to always seek God first for his wisdom and guidance before you take any action, especially regarding who to give his sacred money to. And if you always seek God's guidance before you move, then you will never be ashamed or disappointed with whom you gave his sacred tithe money to, because you would not be following your own wisdom, but you had followed the wisdom and guidance of one who never errs. In Gospel Workers on page 455. When those who are to appropriate to the needs of the Lord's work the means in his treasury have unselfishly tried to gain a right understanding of the situation, they should come to the mercy seat, asking for a clear intuition and heavenly wisdom that they may see the necessities of the far-off countries as well as of those nearer by. Never will they seek the Lord in vain. As they ask him to help them to advance the work in regions beyond, they will receive grace from on high. So never will you seek the Lord in vain if you go to him first and ask him where to send his sacred tithe to. Now if you look at quote number 19. So then, who are God's true messengers? Who are his true ministers and workers and ministries who are safe to send God's tithe to with his permission? In Testimonies, Volume 6, on page 291, the truth for this time embraces the whole gospel. So the truth for this time would be present truth. And the present truth message embraces or includes the whole gospel. So then present truth is not half or part of the gospel, but it is the whole gospel message. So then, what is a whole gospel message? In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then in Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So all the counsel of God, or a whole gospel message, includes two parts: preaching Jesus Christ and also preaching Jesus crucified. Now, in preaching the first half of this whole gospel message, a minister or ministry would be uplifting Jesus Christ as the only Savior for any person to come to obtain justification and sanctification from all past and present personal sins through Christ's precious blood, merits, and righteousness. And they would also be preaching that salvation is not found in any church, or under any name, or in any other person, but in Jesus Christ alone. So that is basically the first half of the gospel message, preaching Jesus Christ. But now, is preaching the last half of the whole gospel message only telling people that Christ was crucified on the cross? If you look in Hebrews 13, verses 12 to 13, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So then in connection with the idea that Christ was crucified, we see that Christ was not crucified within Jerusalem, but outside of it. So then this means that Jesus was not just separated from all personal sin, but he was also separated from all determined sinners, as Hebrews 7:26 tells us. So then this meant that any who wanted to follow Jesus could not find him within the Jewish church, but only outside of it. And any Jew who chose to remain connected with their corrupt church and not to leave it in order to be with Christ outside could not become sanctified with Christ's precious cleansing blood. And dear ones, it is the exact same situation today. Jesus is not to be found within any of the established churches of today. They have all become apostate and corrupt, just like the Jewish church of old, and thereby have become part of Babylon the Great. So then in preaching the last half of the gospel message, a minister or ministry would be plainly exposing the churches as being part of Babylon fallen, and then publicly calling all to fully separate themselves from their harlot church in order to join with Christ outside. So then it is a whole gospel message which the people desperately need today, not half a gospel and not part of a gospel, but a whole gospel. So then it's not just preaching and following the message of Christ's righteousness and freedom from all personal sin, without also preaching and following the separation message out of all corporate sin. And neither is it just preaching and following the message of complete separation from all corporate corrupt church bodies, without also preaching and following the message of Christ's righteousness and complete separation from all personal sin. But it is a whole gospel message which is present truth for today. So God has given his true people only one pathway that leads to heaven. And this pathway involves separation from all personal sin and from all corporate sin. So then any minister or ministry who preaches otherwise are showing themselves to be false watchmen, and these are voicing the words of a stranger, which means that they are not working for God, at least at that time. They are trying to lead people to follow a different pathway from what God has plainly marked out for his people to follow. Besides, if you think about it, just how foolish is it to believe that people can rebel against God and walk a different pathway than his specified will, and yet still think that they're on their way to heaven? And also, if you think about it, how hypocritical it is to preach that God's people must overcome all sin in order to make it to heaven, but yet tell them that it is okay to remain members in a corrupt church and thus become a partaker of her sins. If sin is going to keep you out of heaven, then it doesn't matter what type of sin it is. You're not going to be allowed in heaven if you're a partaker of your own sins or a partaker of Babylon's sins. So then the truth for this time, the present truth, embraces the whole gospel, not just half or part of it. So for a minister or ministry to be preaching present truth, they must be preaching a complete whole gospel message that embraces the third and the fourth angels. They must be publicly preaching the message of Christ's righteousness as well as the message that the church is Babylon fallen and all must separate from her. If any minister or ministry is not preaching this whole gospel, but only half or perhaps 90% of it, then they are not to be supported with God's sacred tithe. I mean, think about it. If you are sending God's sacred tithes to those ministers or workers or ministries who are only preaching 90 to 95% of the truth, then you are guilty of supporting the spreading of the 5 to 10% error of the devil. So then this means that you would be building up the cause of Satan with God's sacred tithes. And thus you would be guilty of robbing God by doing so. So, dear ones, please think seriously about these things and then carefully examine the messages and the positions of those whom you support with God's sacred tithes and then refuse to support those who are not publicly preaching a whole present truth gospel. And even though they may speak very well, or even though their congregations may be large, or perhaps they have a fantastic evangelistic outreach program that reaches around the world, if they're not preaching a true, whole, present truth gospel message, and you continue to support them, then you are also building up the devil's kingdom in that 5 to 10% error that these ministers or ministries are preaching. So don't send any minister or ministry God's sacred tithes unless you know without a doubt that they're preaching a whole gospel message publicly. And then God gives you permission to support them. If you look at quote number 20. And if you are ever tempted to send God's sacred tithes to those ministers or ministries who are not preaching the full present truth gospel, even if they are preaching 99% of the truth and only have 1% error in their message, if you're ever tempted to support them, then please remember these following inspired words. In early writings on page 63, there are many precious truths contained in the Word of God, but it is present truth that the flock needs now. A whole gospel message. In Review and Herald, Volume 1, page 11. The Lord has shown me that precious souls are starving, are dying for want of the present sealing truth, the meat in due season, and that the swift messenger should speed on their way and feed the flock with the present truth. I heard an angel say, "Speed the swift messengers. Speed the swift messengers, for the case of every soul will soon be decided either for life or for death." So people are dying. They're starving to death for this present truth, this whole gospel. And thus, if you're supporting any minister or ministry that is not preaching the full gospel message, the present truth, then you are part responsible for causing people to die. In Testimonies, Volume 3, page 553, it would be poor policy to support from the treasury of God those who really mar and injure his work. And then in Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, on page 195, the message of present truth must be carried to those who have never heard it. We pray that the Lord will give you wisdom to place your means where it will build up the cause of God in the earth. And God will indeed never fail to direct you where to send his sacred tithes to if you will just do your homework and then go to him to know where to send it. Now, if you look at quote number 21. Now, if you find that you are guilty of not giving a full 10% tithe, or perhaps you see that you are guilty of misusing or misapplying God's sacred tithes in any of the areas that we've gone over, just how serious is this issue? If you look in Review and Herald, December 23, 1890, will you withhold from God his own? Will you divert the portion of means which the Lord claims as his? If so, you are robbing God, and every dollar is charged against you in the books of heaven. In Review and Herald, October 13, 1896, to defraud God is the greatest crime of which man can be guilty, and yet this sin is deep and widespread. In Testimonies, Volume 9, on page 249 to 250, the tithe is the Lord's, and those who meddle with it will be punished with the loss of their heavenly treasure unless they repent. Let the work no longer be hedged up because the tithe has been diverted into various channels other than the one to which the Lord has said it should go. And then in Ezekiel 18, verses 30 to 32, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. So then this tithing issue is extremely serious. And unless you repent and stop robbing God and fully comply with his stated will on where to send his tithes to and what the tithes should be used for, then you will lose salvation. It's serious, dear ones. But finally, as every dollar of God's sacred tithe which we have misused or misapplied is charged as the greatest crime against you in the books of heaven, then is there anything further that God requires of us other than just repenting and then correctly sending his sacred tithe where it should go to and be used for? Is there anything more than just repentance and then changing where we send God's tithe to? In Review and Herald, December 23, 1902, and please read along with me, or listen intently. Quote, if you have robbed the Lord, make restitution as far as possible. Make the past right, and then ask the Savior to pardon you. So then, dear ones, if you think about it, what right would it be for a thief to just repent for stealing, but then not have to repay all that they stole back to the rightful owner? And as this restitution of stolen things is required of thieves in the judicial system of our wicked world today, then of how much higher importance are those sacred things that are connected with God and His cause? So if you see that you are guilty of robbing the Lord in any of these areas of tithing, then please make restitution as far as possible and repay back to the Lord His stolen sacred monies. And after you have done so, then you know that you can ask the Savior to pardon you for this greatest of crimes against God that you're guilty of. And you know assuredly that He will completely forgive you and will fully remove His curse from off of you, and will then open up to you the windows of heaven and bless you abundantly. In Ezekiel 33, verses 14 to 16, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. So this is the area of tithing, the first section in how we can rob God. But now, how can we rob God in offerings? And this is what we will investigate into next time. So dear ones, this is an extremely serious issue. Spend time examining yourselves in this area of tithing. Spend time in making sure you understand the present truth, the whole gospel yourselves, and then spend time investigating into the positions and the messages of those whom you have supported, and see if they are preaching a full present truth or just part of the truth. And then go to God, and He will definitely let you know what you need to do to make the past right and to have His curse removed from you, and then be able to enjoy His blessings, and if faithful to the end, life everlasting. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is entitled, Take My Life. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1951. .htm.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my mind and then use every power as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take my soul, and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee.
Amen, and thank you, dear brother. Praise the Lord indeed. Our dear sister Cece will now have closing prayer for us.
If we could all kneel as far as you can and bow our hearts and our minds and our souls. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the many lessons that were learned today. Thank you for your word of truth that has been planted. Lord, help us to recognize our sins and not to be stealers, dear Father God, of your goodwill, or nor to abuse it, dear Father God, I pray. Lord, I pray that you forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings and anything that we have done in this body, known and unknown, conscious or unconsciously, dear Father God, I pray. I pray that you please continue to be with us. Please help us to keep our eyes solely on you and to daily pick up our cross and follow you and to be armored with you, with everything that is of you, dear Father God, in mind, spirit, and body, I pray. Please, Lord, keep us. I know we pray all the time for you not to leave us, but in the contrary, help us not to leave you, dear Father God, I pray. Please always continue to give us a word or have someone give us a word that will help us to hold fast onto you, dear Father God, I pray. Help us to love one another, to uplift one another, and help us to come to you boldly, dear Father God, I pray. Asking for forgiveness and not giving the devil an opportunity to help us to feel hopeless even for a second. We know that everything that happened in our lives is what is allowed for you for the perfection of our character in you. So I pray, God, that we hold fast despite what may come. We know that the devil is out as a roaring lion ready to eat up souls. But even then, dear Father God, we know if we trust and stand on your word, dear Father God, that he is already a defeated foe. Please, Lord, search our hearts, dear Father God, and help us to see through your character anything that is not of you, and help us to put it on the altar so you may help to remove it, dear Father God, I pray. We are nothing without you. Nothing at all, dear Father. And there is no goodness in us without you. So I pray that you continue to keep us and guide us and lead us in no way but your way. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives. We love you, Lord, more than words can even say. In your Son's precious name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts or comments or questions, insights, or anything that you would like to share? Please feel free to do so.
Well, I praise God for this study, dear brother, and I thank him for moving on you to bring forth such a very strong and clear study. And it is definitely doing its work in my own heart personally. And I've learned much, and I praise God for that, because we really should want to know all the truth as it is in Christ, and we should want to obey him completely and fully in all things. We should want to love truth. Very laggy, cracky voice. Okay, let's see what I can do about that. Hopefully it will get a little better. Okay, maybe I'll come out and go back and come back in. That might be the only... Oh, it's good now? Everything is okay? Yes? Okay, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So what I will reiterate what I had said real quick, and that I do praise the Lord, Brother Rob, for you bringing such a very clear and powerful study regarding such a very important issue. And I'm thankful for the beautiful truths that were expounded upon here. And I believe that all of us, if we love the Lord, and I believe we do, by God's grace, we want to know the complete truth. And we want to know so that we can follow the Lord perfectly in all things. This area right here, it really is. I can see how the enemy can definitely touch areas of our lives and make us fall into our own reasoning on what we should do with the tithe of the Lord. There is something that came to my mind concerning even the tithe, and it was really interesting how it came to my mind, because I also see there's such beauty in this tithe as I'm hearing the importance of it unfold in this study more and more. There's so much beauty in it, and it really compels us to really want to give all to the Lord. And it seems like it's just a tenth, but the Lord knows how to multiply and magnify. He's a multiplier. That's what he does. And I praise God for that. But it also causes us to be more increased with offerings. I see that there's it's an interesting little thing going on here, because many of the things that needed to be dealt with, that excuses were used to take the tithe from, to deal with them, really encourage the children of God to exercise your bowels of compassion and mercy and love as the Lord exercised his in showing us his love, because he gave it all. Now, the Lord can provide all of our needs, and he made it very clear that we're not going to go hungry, we're not going to go starving, and even if we do go hungry or starve for a little bit, he is right there, and it's for a perfect reason, for our salvation, that we should go through those little things. So I see by God's grace the beauty of causing us, you know, by being diligent with the tithe and having those tests come on our obedience to this tithe. And it really is important. It really is. And shamefully, I had never really grabbed the magnitude of it. But I thank the Lord that I was sitting in here for this today. It also ties me in and makes me wonder, too, because of the beauty of the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath seems to me a tenth of the week. And the Lord asks for it all. He doesn't want us to give him a piece of attention on the Sabbath. He doesn't want us to be distracted in any kind of worldly thing whatsoever on the Sabbath, to give that honor or glory or obedience to any other thing but him and service to him on Sabbath. And it really shows, and there were great admonitions and actual punishments in ancient days for those who broke the Sabbath. And in truth, the punishment still will come true if we, continue to break it and we die being disobedient because we have broken the law of God. So the word of God is very, very clear that sin is a transgression of the law, and the soul that sinned it shall die. So all these things tie in, and really the tithe ties into this, really, because no thief will be allowed into heaven. So if we are willfully stealing from God, we cannot think ourselves to have any place in the kingdom if we knowingly and willingly steal from the Lord. Praise God that this lesson comes. Praise God that at this time, by his mercy and grace, we still have time to learn these lessons, repent, and do that which is good. And I also had a thought that came to my mind, because I was sitting, I'm like, Lord, how can I even figure out how much do I owe you back from all the different ways in which I made excuses of this, and I had to pay for that, and I had a bill here, like it was saying, or an emergency came up, I need to. But I praise the Lord because, he ran just a little bit of math in my mind, and he said, well, just listen. You pay your tithe and you add 50 to that from past tithe that you have taken. 50 is a tenth of what? Of 500? Okay, do the math. The Lord is merciful. And even in the paying back, we see his love still abounds. And we can't let the enemy make us see what we may owe as being so insurmountable. God's mercy is true and holy and just as he is. And he's not going to place on us anything more. We have to do, even as the study had said, we have to do our effort to do all that we can, as much as in our power. I forget how it was first worded, dear brother. But if we're doing that, and we ask the Lord forgiveness, then I believe that, his mercy and grace, and the Holy Spirit will let us know. I believe that too. So if we're really sincere to give back to God what we know we have robbed from him, he will surely allow us to exercise that by grace, that obedience. So thank you, dear brother.
Earlier in the Sabbath school portion of this presentation this morning, someone was speaking of the trials they had been through and the things they'd had to endure. I thought about Job. God didn't bring those troubles on Job, but he allowed them, because Job was being his witness to some other people of his Christian character. And his wife even came along and said, Job, you fool, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, no, should we only get good from God and not bad? That reminded me of the words of one of my favorite little tunes here. Let's see if I can do it. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great trials, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long. And if we listen for him, he'll give us a song in our greatest time of trial.
Amen, amen. And thank you so much, Brother Dick and Brother Joel. And my question is,
I know that during the years of like 2007 to 2008, something like that, I was without a job. And so I really didn't have any income, but yet, you know, others would sometimes give something to help or what have you. And as I was able, I would return the little bit that I would have received or what have you. But there were other times where, I mean, I have just felt impressed that during that time to try and add up what my tithe would have been. And even if I had used tithe and I've asked forgiveness or what have you, and I return not only the 10%, but I add 5% to that. I don't know if that is correct, but that's what I've been doing in the past. And even though it was so long ago, I still have felt the burden of doing so. And what I have done, even as early as last year, when by God's grace I was able to get a permanent job, etc., and I just felt impressed that any money that I had saved up to help towards a situation that was going on where I thought I was going to have to do bankruptcy, et cetera, when I went into prayer, I was just strongly impressed to return that tithe and offering with that amount that I had saved up, and I did that. And I have seen blessings from the Lord in many areas. And so I never look at the money that is God's as mine in any way, shape, or form. And even though sometimes it might seem like, oh, wow, how, you know, I've had other family members say, well, how come you tithe so much or what have you, when really you don't get this, that, or the other. And my thing is, how can you overpay God? Yes, the 10%, but then the offerings are what you decide upon. And I know that, you know, you're going to reach upon that at a different time, Elder Rob. But my thing is, am I correct in doing the 10% plus the 5%? In restoring when you're returning tithe or what have you? Oh, and then also, when we rob God of our time also, I guess that would be considered. I think you did touch on that. And I know that in the past, I had not been staying for the after service because I will be going and doing a recording for another ministry. But sadly enough, and now that I'm not able to get that particular recording done anymore, it hit me last Sabbath, but then why am I leaving for after service when I'm not able to do the recording and I'm missing out on the after service? So praise the Lord to be here and for just being able to listen to Him and to be able to continue to follow His lead in everything. And I do thank you so much for, you know, answering that about the restitution part.
Well, thank you, dear sister, and also thank you, dear brother Joel, for your comments, and brother Dick for that beautiful song. And I'm not sure I understand the question, dear sister Lynn. Were you saying that the 10% tithe you are giving now on the earnings that you make, and then the extra 5% is to cover what tithe you were not able to pay in the past? Am I understanding that part correct or not?
No. Or in other words, what I make now, I definitely return my 10% plus my offerings. I don't deviate from that. But in any past tithes that I feel that I owe from before, I take that 10% plus 5% of that. So in other words, it's really kind of like 25% that I'm returning, if that makes sense. In other words, I don't touch the 10% that and offerings from what I'm making now. But from what I, as far as with God's leading, I added up what I would have owed from before, that 10% plus an additional 5% on top of that plus offerings, I give that. That I think that was my question.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that. And I actually think that is excellent to do, because you are making sure that whatever tithes you recognize were either not given or misapplied, you're returning to Him with an extra 10%. And then on top of that, you're putting another 5% on there, sort of as a, you know, I'm really sorry, Lord, please especially forgive me. And, you know, there is biblical justification for doing that. If you look in Leviticus, and I think it's even in Numbers, it talks about thieves that have stolen something that if they are caught, or if the item that they stole is caught within their possession, that they're not just to restore the item they stole, but they were also to add, sometimes it was double or sometimes it was a fifth part to the value of that item, sort of as a repentance gift or something like that. And so if the Lord is impressing you to do that, then by all means, do so. And from what you say, the Lord is abundantly blessing you for doing that. I know the passage that we came to in the Spirit of Prophecy just says to make restitutions of the tithe money that you know has been misapplied. And it also says there, as far as possible. So the Lord is extremely merciful to his children. He understands that if we have for 20 or 30 years have been misapplying the tithe because we're ignorant of where it should go, or we weren't as careful as we should have been as being stewards, that there's no possible way that we're going to be able to pay back to the Lord 30 years of robbery. But we can start to pay back to the Lord what we can from that point on. And the Lord accepts our willingness to recoup the loss that we've given the Lord, to recoup the robbery that we've done to him, even if we never are able to fully pay back what has been robbed, yet we're trying to. And the Lord accepts that as the best that we can do. So you're paying back to the Lord like a double tithe and then adding an extra 5% onto that. The Lord accepts what you're doing. And he accepts your repentance and is blessing you for trying to make the past right. And he will do the same for each and every one of us. So, dear ones, if you recognize that you're guilty of misapplying or misappropriating God's tithe in the past, do what you can. Do what is possible to repay it back. And God will accept your best efforts. Amen. Yeah. So in 2 Samuel 12:16, it says, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing. So yeah, that was true, dealing with David there and Nathan coming to him. But there were other passages in Leviticus and Numbers, I believe it was, that it depended on the crime and it depended on the reason why it was committed and so on. But the times of our ignorance, God winked at, and now he's calling each and every one of us to repent and to change and to try to make the past right, so that we may indeed be fully forgiven and may receive his blessings and not his curses. There was a question asked in the room during the sermon. It says, what about when Peter collected the tithe from the church to take to Jerusalem? Is this different than the tithe you're talking about now? And the answer is, it is different, but it wasn't tithe that Paul collected from the church. He collected offerings that were specifically donated by the church of the Gentiles to take to their fellow brethren in the church of Jerusalem that was enduring a famine at the time. So it wasn't tithes that Paul collected. It was offerings and special donations from the Gentiles the converted Gentiles to take to the converted Jews there in Jerusalem to help them out. So, yes, it is different. There was also a question dealing with, can offering be used to buy your own food if you don't have any other money to use to buy food? And the answer is no. Offering has been given to the Lord of your free will for any area within his work or his cause. So using offering that you have given to God for use in his cause cannot be used by you to buy your own food, but it could be used to buy food for others that are less fortunate. And that way you would be ministering to them of the love of God with that offering money. So I hope that helps. It's the principle of the thing that we have to look at. And hopefully that will help. Another question, it says, I thought that God winks at ignorance. So then why would a person have to pay tithe for things that they did not understand at the time? That's a good question. And again, we come back to the issue of, as far as possible. So if you recognize areas in the past where you have been blessed abundantly, but did not give God a tithe or even a thank offering on that extra blessing, then the Lord asks you to make it right as far as possible. You know, there's situations in which we may have been well off in the past, but now we're not well off. And so then the accumulation of tithe money that we robbed from God when we were well off is just so huge a figure that it is impossible for us to pay that sum back now when we're not well off. But we can at least begin to, as much as possible, make the past right. And God will indeed bless your efforts. And, I mean, the issue of God winking at the times of our ignorance, it was still sins that we were committing. But God didn't hold us guilty because we were ignorant of the fact. But then when we come to a knowledge of what we were doing, we're no longer ignorant. And then God calls us to repent and to do all that we can to make the past right. Yes, go ahead.
I want to try to also add a little to what Brother Rob was sharing too, concerning that question that was posted in there. And I believe it's very important, and this applies, I have to say it this way. This applies to those who are listening and that are in here, and you know who you are. For the Holy Spirit works in all of us who are willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. He will definitely tap us on the shoulder here and there in our lives. So I preface that in that way so that I can share this. Even in this area of tithe giving, as in all areas of obedience, it is according to what we do understand. And that's where the winking comes in. We don't understand this. We don't understand that. It has not been fully expounded to us to truly grasp it. Okay. However, we cannot allow presumption based on what we at least know and understand and what the Holy Spirit has strongly impressed in our heart. Like, you shouldn't really do that. You know that, right? We should not presume that's where the winking comes in. I'm very strongly led to make that very clear so that we know where we stand with the Lord. Let us be clean and honest before him in all of our actions and in our conscience before him. Let us all do that, because it's very important for our personal growth in Christ Jesus to stand clear and clean before the Lord and be honest and sincere in what we do know, what we do understand in all areas. That's not just tithing. That's in all areas of our walk with Christ. We need to be very sincere with the Lord as to, if we know the Holy Spirit tapped us on the shoulder and truly moved in our heart to cause us to wonder, should I do that? Or, oh, I should do that. And we come up with our own reasoning. And we presume that, well, it's okay. You know, God, he'll understand. I'm going to do this later on. That kind of presumption is something to be repented of. We need to really go before the Lord and say, Lord, I presumed wrong, and I had no right to make that presumption because I know that you were trying to tell me this was not right. And the Lord will bring the correction through maybe a word of mouth by some other dear brother or sister, or while you're in your study, the lesson will come. You know, so we need to be very, you know, careful, dear brothers and sisters, not to allow ourselves to fall into that particular trap too. And I speak as one who has fallen into those things before, and it's just not a pretty sight when the Lord has to bring correction around one way or another, especially if you're hard-headed. So I just encourage you all also to watch the enemy. He's definitely there to try and trip us up in all his little devious ways.
Amen, dear brother. And also amen to a comment in the room. It says that once God impresses us, we need to act on it immediately. And that is true, but sometimes we end up double-guessing ourselves, and we end up wanting to make sure it was the Lord that was impressing us. And my family and I and our kids got a little chuckle as we began to understand in the scriptures that a lot of times people didn't immediately act on God's impressions until about the third time. And, you know, like with Balaam and the donkey, he didn't realize that it was an angel until the third time. And there was some other experiences in there that it took three times to finally break through the thick heads of misunderstanding of God's servants before they understood it was the Lord. So even if it takes us three times or more to finally understand that it's God impressing us, as soon as we understand that, we need to act on it. Because if we begin to fight it, or if we begin to say, well, now's not convenient, I'll do it later, then that impression is not going to be as strong the next time. It's going to be weaker. And thus it's going to be harder to discern. So when we know that it's God impressing us, let us then act on it and not delay. And praise God for his mercy, for not giving up on me, but continuing to chisel away at my thick head until it finally dawns on me what he would have me do. So praise the Lord. Amen. God be praised indeed for allowing us to know and understand these important truths. But dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments or questions or perhaps testimonies or songs that you would like to bring forth at this time? Please feel free to do so. Dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping with us on this beautiful Sabbath. I pray that God will go with you to lead and guide you, to continue to impress you, and to definitely allow you to see more clearly this important issue of tithing and how we can avoid robbing God and thus not receive his curses anymore, but instead to receive his blessings. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107, 1 and...
We also want to sing a scripture song, and this one is taken from Psalms 139. Verse 23 and 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. Search me, O God, I know my heart. Try me, I know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. Amen.